All right. Well, we'll go ahead and get started. I thought I'd give about 5 minutes for people to get here from dinner or either driving in from work. Let me go ahead. I'll open this up in prayer, and then we'll get going. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for each person here, and I do pray that each person would be encouraged and they would be blessed from us being together, and that we would learn and grow in who you are and how you have made us and designed us for your glory. And we do pray that everything that we say and do tonight would be to your glory and would be accurate according to your scripture and according to your will and your ways. Thank you again, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll turn this down just a little, and if somebody shut that door. You notice I didn't say Jim, because I didn't want to put you on the spot this time. All right. That's funny. Well, today we're going to go in the 7 weeks, we're going to cover our design. And as I said, it's really according to our God-given shape. And that's taking that acrostic of the shape, how you spell it, S-H-A-P-E. And so spiritual gifts, which we gave 3 weeks to spiritual gifts, 2 weeks to discovering your spiritual gifts. And then last week we talked about developing and your spiritual gifts and deploying your spiritual gifts. So we covered those three weeks on our spiritual gifts. And today we're taking the P, so we're not going in order of S-H-A-P-E, but we're taking the P in shape and really talking through our God-given personality, our God-given temperament. And we'll talk through that tonight. And then we're going to do that next week. We're going to talk through, tonight is kind of that overview and talking through what does this mean and the understanding of it. Next week we're going to talk about personality, but it's more of how do you really interpret it and how do you apply this and how do you, apply, if I know your personality, you know mine, I know hers, I know his, and how do we live. How does it help us? And some insights of how does this really work out in the body of Christ and also with our spiritual gifts and other parts of our shape. So that's what next week is. And then the next following 2 weeks, we'll talk through both the heart, which is SH, the abilities and talents. We'll do that the next week. And then we'll do personality, of course, tonight, and then the E is our God-given experiences, our sovereign experiences, and how those, God uses those to make us who we are, and how He uses those to shape us or to design us for His glory. So that's kind of where we are and where we're going in our series. And again, tonight's really talking through our God-given personality, and just a few thoughts on the front end is that God's clearly made each one of us unique and different according to His way. Not only does He, at salvation, we get a spiritual gift, but that's part of His design or His making of us, that God, as we're going to look in a minute, before time began, designed us, and in that design and in His making is our salvation, which we get a new heart, we get a new life, we get a new He gives us a new family and we're regenerated, and then He does a new work in our life. And anyway, and then He starts molding and making us into the image of Christ, and then we're like Him at the end. But our personality is really how I speak of it, is more of your temperament. And I'll talk about that again in a minute. But each person has a God-designed personality given to them for His glory. And that's really important. It's what I'm talking about is our natural personality, our natural temperament, our bent, kind of who God made us to be. And we have to realize that is given to us by God, and that it's given to us in that design, and it's realized at birth, but it continues on throughout our life. And again, we'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. I had given illustrations and examples of my children because that's the best I got, And so, in this, today won't be about Watkins. If you were here the week, I gave some stories about Watkins. In fact, today is about my third born child, is Catherine Hope. She was probably about 9 months old, somewhere between 9 and 10 months old. And, she was crawling, pulling up, but not walking. Okay? And so, now, we had already seen some of Catherine Hope's personality already come out when she was just a little bitty baby, because when all her brothers and sisters would be running around and laughing, she would perk up and she would start watching them and laughing with them, and she wanted to be in the middle of everything. And so we realized this. And so, like, when they wanted to run around and play hide-and-go-seek, I would pick her up and play and let her play hide-and-go-seek. Now, she was little. She was how old? 6 months? 7 months? Like, real tiny. But she was expressive, and she was like little bitty, and I would run with her, and we'd look for people and find them, and she would just cackle and laugh, and, you know, she loved being in the middle of people. So we knew that she was a people person. So we're like, okay, she's a people person, without a doubt. We'd play chase, and I would just pick her up and run around with her, because she wanted to be playing chase with her brothers and sisters, and she would just laugh. So we knew that. We knew she was very relational. But this particular Saturday, we're sitting on the couch, and she crawls over to this little Tykes baby buggy. And I don't know if you got a picture of a little Tykes baby buggy, but it's just a little baby buggy for children to roll their little baby dolls around. And so she saw her older sister, who was about seven and a half. And so she would roll that and would roll that around. And so here's this little Tykes baby buggy. Easy for you to say. But anyway. So she had this little baby buggy, and she saw it, and she started crawling over to it. And then she looked at it, and she reached her little hands up, and she started pulling on it, but she was going up real slow, and all of a sudden, if you ever have one, you know what I'm about to say, it rolled over and hit her on the head, the little handle hit her on the head. And she started whimpering and crying a little bit, and Belinda's about to get up, and I noticed she wasn't whimpering because it hit her on the head. She's whimpering because she started getting mad that she didn't get up. And I held Belinda back. I said, hey, hold on a second. Let's let her do it again. So she reaches up those little hands again, and she pulls up, and all of a sudden it falls over again and hits her on the head again. And so she cries a little more and starts whimpering. I said, it's okay, baby. It's okay. Let's give her another shot. So this time she's got this little determined face, and she's starting to turn a little red because she's getting mad, you know, because she's wanting to pull up at this baby buggy. We'd never seen this personality trait in her. And so she reaches up, and she almost gets there, and it rolls over, and she falls on her little diaper, and it hits her on her lip, and you can see it immediately swell up, and you're like, and so this time she starts crying and a little bit, and Belinda's ready to go be mama and take care of her. I said, give her one more shot. Let's hang on. And what?
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, you're shaking your head. I was like, am I telling the story wrong?
No, I still want to go.
So she reaches up. She looks up at it as a little 9 months old little baby. She looks up at it, and she grabs that thing, and she gets up as fast as she can, and she gets it. And she looks at us over on the couch with this big smile, and she has her little face, her little chin up and her face looking at us, and she's just so proud, and she prances around behind the little tight baby buggy. Got it that time, didn't I? Alright, and so she prances all around, and she's so proud of herself, and I went, okay, we just learned something about this, you know, Catherine Hope's personality. Not only is she people-oriented, she's tenacious. She's gonna do whatever. She did 4 tries, never gave up until she accomplished it. And we're like, she's going to be a tenacious person. She's going to give whatever effort it takes to get accomplished what she wants to accomplish. And that's played out all through her life. She's having her 27th birthday this Friday. And so, I tell you that because that was her personality. That's how God made her. And we saw her continue to be that way, and she is continuing to be that way even to today. And so we're born with a certain temperament and personality. We have that, and it continue. We continue to grow with that. All right. So there we go. So our personality. There we go. It's working now. Our personality temperament. Here's kind of a somewhat definition to explain what I'm talking about, because in psychology or in counseling or in, you know, different magazines or different things that you read or, you know, you'll read things and they explain personality different and temperament different than what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is your basic makeup. It's your temperament or your personality that's given by God, that's more of a built-in filter. It's a mindset of how we view life and how we respond to circumstances and how we feel, how we naturally think about others and even ourselves. And in a sense, it's, as I said, it's a filter in which we see and interpret life. So that's what I'm talking about is Kevin Hope was basically people-oriented and task-oriented and tenacious, and she still is. And now, has she changed and grown? Absolutely. We all change and grow, but that basic, those basic qualities or temperament is what we're talking about. I would say our temperament affects really all the aspects of our life, such as how we make decisions, how we respond to other people, how we deal with conflict, how we engage with other people, how we communicate with others, how you work to achieve goals, so forth and so on. So our basic makeup affects all of those things. Let's just think about decisions for a second. And let's use those basic four temperament styles that have been historically there for a long, long, long time. So if you think about just making decisions, you know, one is more of the doer, get her done, and they're like, let's just make a decision and get after it. You know, not really that big a, you know, there's a bunch of ways you can do it, but let's just make a decision, let's get on, let's do it, okay? And then you have the next person is like, they're more expressive. They're the people-oriented, they said, yeah, let's, and they start talking about it, and they get you fired up about it, and then they're like, let's, you know, but they try to get consensus for everybody on board to make that decision. So they're firing you up and encouraging you, and they're talking to you, and they're talking to their group if that's involved in the decision or family or whoever. But and so that's that personality. And then you have the other people oriented, but they're the ones that are more stable and, like, you know, really go deep with a few and kind of hold more of their emotions and thoughts in hand. And what they really want is, let's, you know, what does so-and-so think? You know, what is... Because they don't want any conflict. They don't want anybody's feelings to be hurt. They want to make sure, you know, that everybody's okay through this decision. And then you have the detail-oriented person, and they're going to be, okay, let's think through the pros and the cons and, you know, what's the consequences of the unintended consequences of this decision. We hadn't thought, what's the budget? What's the... And then they asking all the questions, what's it going to take? You know, who's going to do this, and are you sure we can even do that? And they're just going to think through every detail, where that first person, they're like, let's go. What are you talking about? You know, it's been 3 days. They're like, we should have made the decision Monday. You know, it's been 3 weeks. Man, you're wasting time, you know. And then that second temperament's like, what decision? They've just gone on. They're talking to the other people about something else after, you know, 3 weeks. But anyway, you get it. But even on the communication, so decisions and then communications, you know, that, again, that basic first personality type, the more sanguine or D or whatever, depending on what you're looking at, I mean, the more choleric or D, you know, they're going to be more like on their communication, just give me the bottom line, okay? I just want to know, what are we doing and what's the deal? Give me the bottom line. They don't want the details, they just want the bottom line. And then you have the person that's very relational, that personality, which is the sanguine, you know, and they're going to be like, you know, they're going to want to just talk and influence and And all of a sudden you do find yourself so fired up, you don't know what you're fired up about, but let's go do it. I don't know what they're talking about. I'm ready. I want to do it because they fired you all up about getting it done and whatever, but there, or they tell you the story and you're sitting on the edge of your seat because you can't wait to hear the end because they captured you. And that's just their temperament, their personality. And then you have, again, the person, that's, more responder and steady, that temperament. You know, in their communication style, they're going to listen a whole lot more than they talk. They're going to ask questions maybe, but they're not going to say a whole lot. They're gauging everybody and they're listening and they're not going to lay out their thoughts, because one, they don't want conflict and they don't want, they're only going to share their thoughts, their deepest thoughts with a few that they really trust and they know they can trust. And then you have that other temperament, the more detailed person, in the disc is the C, and in their communication style, they're going to just give all the information. They're going to be, so when they're telling the story, it's like, okay, so we came to the stop sign, and I stopped all the way, and then we turned left. Now, we turned left next to Miss Smith's house. You remember Miss Smith, and, you know, she's the lady that works over at the library, so we turned left, we went by Miss Smith's house. In fact, she was probably home. I think she was home. And they're just going to go two blocks later, now you know, and so they're going to tell the other details, but they're just going to go through the details of whatever they're telling, and they're going to go through, or whatever. So you're going to get these details because that's how they're wired, that's how they think, and they're processing, and they're telling, because that's who they are. That's how they interpret life, and that's how everything is, and those details are important. So they're going to go through it that way. So just a little fun about decisions and about communication, and we'll do more of this, a lot more next week when we get to talk through the different personalities. But it's so important for us to know and understand our personality and temperament, and it's so important to know other people's personality and temperament, because it really affects our own walk with the Lord. I would say that we can walk, as you'll hear me say in a minute, it's in my notes, not here, but it is now, but we'll walk in step with the Spirit, or we'll be able to walk in the Spirit. We'll be able to follow Christ a lot better if we know who we are and how we're shaped, because we'll know our weaknesses and we'll know our strengths a whole lot better. We'll know how, you know, what things that are going to, and how they're going to affect us. Oh, and also we're so much better with each other because we won't think this person's being mean the way they talk, or that they're they're talking for 20 minutes. No, we'll just smile because that's how God made them. And that's just who they are. And if we're bottom line people, we just know we'll be patient because I love them and they're just, that's who they are, and we'll be okay. We'll get to the decision in a minute. And so it helps us interact with each other. It helps us walk together as the body of Christ, knowing and understanding the information about temperament and personality is so important. But to know it, we have to come from it, from biblical truth. I'm just going to share five verses tonight, one deeply, and then the other I'll just read and make a comment. But these are just five passages about from the Scripture that relate to our personality and to our temperament. And the first one that we're going to dive into is in Psalm 139, beginning with verse 13 and go through verse 16. And so let me read it, and then we're just going to do like we've done in these other passages when I've taught, and I'm sure when Ray did, we'll just go verse by verse and talk through this. Psalm 139, beginning at verse 13, says, now again, this is David, a psalm of David, and he's singing a worship song up to the Lord that the God has given us in the Scriptures that we might worship him with biblical truth, okay? So this is biblical truth in a psalm of David in Psalm 139, and we'll just pick up at verse 13. For you, praising God and speaking to God, for you formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. Well, let's just look at this and kind of go by verse by verse in this great psalm that relates to our God's design of us, how God made us, how God created us, how God created His people. And the first thing it says, and you formed. God is the creator God. I mean, He formed, He made. And that changes how we think about people. That changes how we think about ourselves. That changes everything when we understand God is the master creator. He's the designer. He is Lord. He's sovereign King. He's perfect in all His ways. You know, He is unchangeable. Just every attribute, and you think of God in this sense of the creator, the designer, and go, He formed. For you formed, and you formed my inward parts, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. You formed my inward parts. Everything about us, God formed us, and He made us. He created us. Every detail, He carefully made us. When you think that, He formed and He carefully, He intentionally made us. You know, He made us on purpose, the way that we are, and just the way He wanted us to be. God, you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. You knitted us together. And you can just see this in, you know, NAS says you wove us together. And just the knitting together or the weaving together or the making and the creating. And you could just see the master weaver, you know, weaving together His perfect creation or what He's making with intentionality, with great detail, or and knowing exactly where He's going and what He's doing with every single stitch or every single thing that He's weaving there with. And so God did that with you. He created us unique. He created us special, and with great intricacy He thought through and made us the way He wanted us. Martin Luther said, "You are the only you there is." Good little phrase. You're the only you there is. God made you uniquely. God made you just the way He wanted. He formed your inward parts. He knitted you together, and He created you. And then the psalmist breaks out in praise. He breaks out in praise. Just in the middle of writing this, God's moving him, and He's written it for us. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Because of who God is. Because He is a perfect God. Because He's the Creator. And He can make you any way He wanted. Anything He wanted to do. And He's made us all the way He wanted for His purpose. For His design. For His glory. And He created you that way. And so we join the psalmist and say, I praise you. And we need to go, my soul knows very well who you are. And that you made me on purpose, just the way you wanted, wonderfully created and fearfully created by you. And then he goes on and says in verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. And there it is again, that, you know, God made us, intricately wove us. And then verse 16, your eyes saw my unformed substance. I'll stop here because I just saw a note I put here, and I remember a preacher saying this one time, quoting, and basically, as the old country preacher says, God don't make no junk. Okay, and that's what, when I read this, I remember this pastor, and I was in Slocum, Alabama, you know, and if you don't know where Slocum is, it's like population 1800 outside of Dothan. Now, he was educated and a very good, articulate person, but He grew up in the country, and anyway, he said, you know, as the country preacher said, and I remember him saying that God don't make no junk, you know, and that's what this is saying. God made you on purpose for His glory, and God doesn't make a mistake. God's perfect in all His ways, right? So when He formed us and made us, we're in the middle of His plan and His design, and He's doing His work. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me when as yet there were none of them. the days that were formed. Here we really come face to face with God's great sovereignty, His kingship, His lordship, how God is sovereign in all His ways and how He is forming and making, but He shaped the days that we walk in. He has created us on purpose for Him and His glory and for His purposes. And so we see that holy, when we read through this, we have that holy significance that it's God who made us, and He made us just the way He wanted, and it's for His purposes, and we're walking in those days that He formed us and made us to walk in, and we're walking, and we're going through this for His glory. He is with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us in all of who He is. And He has, we're in the middle of His design of how He made us. So the question isn't, when we go through this series, the question isn't, so what do I want to do with my life? That's not the question. Wrong question. Or it's not even, what am I good at? Sometimes you go through these things, so what am I good at? I need to be doing that. No, that's not the right question. The right question is, what has God designed me to do? What has God called me to do? That's the right question. The emphasis is not on me, it's on God. That's what we're all about. We're about what has He called us to do. Well, a few other verses, and again, I'm not going to teach through each one, but they're so important in this series, and we'll look at some more next week. But Psalm 119:73 says, "Your hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments." A psalm up to God. Your hands, God, you have made me. You fashioned me. Now, please give me understanding and insight into your will and your ways and your word that I might walk with you. And that's why God wants us to know who we are. He wants us to know who He is. He gave us His word. He gave us His spirit. He gave us people to teach and preach. He wants us to know Him, but He also wants us to have that understanding. But He has made us. He's fashioned us. Isaiah 44:24, thus says the Lord, Yahweh God, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord, who made all things, who alone stretched out the heavens, who spread out the earth by myself. Okay, so God is the sovereign God. He's the creator. He's the designer. He is the sustainer. He is God Almighty, the Redeemer. And here He says, make sure you know this. I formed you. I made you. I designed you. And I alone. There's nobody else. There's only one sovereign God. Nobody else. Okay. And then Isaiah 64:8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. And you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Isn't that a sweet verse? It gives us great consolation and confidence because He's our Heavenly Father, Creator God of all the universe, Sovereign Lord, Eternal God, All-Powerful God. He's our Father. He has made us. And He's the potter, and we're the clay. And He has shaped us and made us, and He continues to shape and make us in this great plan into the image of Christ and to do and to be what He's called us to do. We're the work of His hand. And then Acts 17:28, Paul's sermon. But anyway, we won't go into all of the context. But anyway, this is the truth. For in Him, in God, we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed His offspring. So God's, it's in Him that we even live and move and have our being. Who we are, where we are, what we do, He's sovereign God. And we're the offspring of God. He's our Father. We're His children. Another great passage when we look at temperament. So we need to have that biblical foundation, the truth of who God is and what He's done and why He did it as our basis of just understanding personality. There's also helpful to just understand just the historical realization that people have always wanted to figure out who am I and why do I do what I do and why does He do what He does and, you know, why did this king do what he did way back or this, you know, leader and or why does she do that or how in the world does she do that to she, you know, or how he do that or what. And so people have always wondered who they are and how they're made. And, you know, from the beginning of history, we can read and In fact, in every general area of the world, the earliest writings, and you can find in writings about people trying to figure out who people are and why they do what they do, you know, and it could be whether it's in the East, the West, you know, the North, the South. Doesn't matter where you are in Asia, if you're in Africa, or if you're in the Middle East, or, you know, or if you're in Europe, or if you're over here in the United States, which our history isn't near as old as everybody else's history. And this is found in, you know, Hippocrates. You may know him and remember him way back in history. Lived a long time ago, right? You know, I mean, that's a long time when you think of 460 B.C. I mean, that's, you know, back when Nehemiah and Malachi were writing their prophecies. You know, that's, so you go, oh, okay. Well, that kind of puts me in biblical context. I mean, that's where Hippocrates was living at the same time as Nehemiah was living in Malachi. But Hippocrates was the father of modern medicine. A lot of what we do in medicine even today was from him and his thought processes and what he did in the area of medicine. But one area that he also contributed, because not only was he a great physician and brilliant, he was a philosopher, and he would write out and study people, everything about people. I mean, he was so intrigued with the body, with the mind, with people, and he would write about those things. And he came up with four major personality types. So we can read all the way back, and he had four basic personality types. It's not exactly like ours, but he came down to basically those. We won't go into a lot of that. But, and then you have Galen of Pergamon, who's another important person in the sense of just coming up with personality and temperament. But Galen of Pergamon, Galen was, again, a great physician. I mean, he was the physician in Europe. Okay, both, you know, actually, he was a Greek physician, as was Hippocrates. So he was a Greek physician, but the Roman Empire, he was the physician for the emperor. In fact, when the emperor changed, he stayed the master, the physician for the emperor, because of he was so trusted, and his knowledge was beyond anybody else of his day. So he was the physician for several different physicians. You know, he was the physician for several different emperors, Roman emperors. And he studied a lot on medical research, but also psychology. He was a philosopher and a physician as well. And he, in a dissertation, wrote about temperaments. And he's the one that coined sanguine, choleric, melancholic, and phlegmatic. It wasn't LaHaye. If you remember waiting way back, reading LaHaye's little thick book, I read it, you know, or it wasn't whoever else wrote about it before him, you know. It was actually Galen in a long time ago, you know, 2,000 years ago he wrote it. And so he came up with this, and it was actually, when you read about it, he had come up with the exact, pretty much the same things that we do with the disc, or that other people do with these four major categories that people have come to believe help describe who people are and how, why they do what they do and their basic temperament. So that's kind of interesting. You know, again, sanguine is that outgoing, the real relational person, the extrovert and talkative. Choleric, you know, is the more task-oriented. That's the doer in the disc, you know, and the extrovert also, and just they're going to get things done. Then you have the melancholic, you know, they're going to be more of that calculated thinker, analytical person, more introverted. And then the phlegmatic is that steady, stable, cautious, that values deep relationships, and they're more introverted than extroverted. So those are very brief about those four, which we'll, again, next week we're going to talk a ton about this. Now, this, it goes in waves in popularity, you know. Sometimes it's people don't really care about personalities, and then all of a sudden it's like 10 years, 20 years later, everybody's talking about it. Well, this last 10 years, it's been a very big topic. Everybody's talking about it. Myers-Briggs, heard you saying something about your Myers-Briggs, and That, you know, is a very common one today that's still used, and it was written in the early 1900s by Captain Cook Briggs and Isabel Briggs Myers, and they wrote really four major categories, but they broke it into 16 different personality types, and that you could come up with your four letters, and now they add a little dash and something else on there too. You know, and I'm the ESFJ or EFTJ. It kind of depends, you know, I'm right on the borderline on the F or T. But anyway, ESFJ is my little four. Don't know what yours are. But anyway, but that's still a useful tool out there, and people use it. Now, the Enneagram has become real popularized. Everybody has been talking about it for probably the last 7-10 years. And, you know, they'll be like, what's your number? And I'm like, how many people are here? You know, if it's in my house, there's six of us, I'm sure I'm number six, okay? You know, everybody else ahead of me, I'm sure that's the way it plays out. And they're like, no, Dad, and they hit me, you know, my kids, you know, no, that's not what we're talking about. But anyway, I will say this about Enneagram is that it was formulated from mystical thinking. When you look back at its history, people tried to Christianize it. You know, there's a lot of discussion in the Christian worldview. I don't really like the Enneagram, if I want to be that, and I'm fine, I'm being recorded, because I don't. I don't really encourage people to go do that. Is it harmful? Probably if you become like a major student of the beliefs of the Enneagram, because it's mystical thinking in the sense of polytheistic, and that you become God, and I mean, it has a lot of weird thought when you really dive deep into the history of it. If you want to know a lot about it, I'd recommend this little booklet that our counseling center has, and we may have them in the bookstore. It says the Enneagram and the Biblical Counselor. You can probably email over to the counseling center. They'll get you one. And it's just a very brief history of it, and you'll see, I mean, I don't recommend you reading and going according to your horoscope. There's other things I don't recommend, and I don't recommend this as well, just because of its basis. But it is very popular these days, and you know, I didn't, you know, scold my kids or anything. I just laughed and listened and read through the stuff and told them what, you know, I was on it. It was fine. But I don't recommend that being your tool. Gary Smalley and John Trent, they're two Christian psychologists, and they've written this little personality inventory that's more shaped. It's very similar to the DISC, or very similar to, you know, the older version of kind of knowing who you are. But they use animals. They use the lion, you know, the otter, the lion's the D, the otter, the golden retriever, and then the beaver, you know, which is the very, you know, more detailed person. So anyway, and that's a fun one. It's nothing wrong with that. It's actually really fun and gives you good insight. You can do it online free if you just type in their stuff. I think I put that in your notes. If you type in those words, it'll pop up if you wanted to do it. And then comes the DISC inventory, and I'm telling you, like, all this history, but I think it's interesting enough to just cover it so you understand a little bit about why we are even doing these things and what's the basis of them. A Harvard lawyer, William Marson, actually in 1928, wrote this, the DISC, or wrote up the characteristics and the basic formation of it. And he was a Harvard lawyer and a psychologist, had a psychology degree as well. Real smart man. In fact, you may know him as the father of the polygraph. So he developed the polygraph. You go, well, I didn't know that. Well, maybe you know who created the little cartoon or the person, Wonder Woman. That's him. Okay. So, I mean, he not only thought of science and not only was a good lawyer, he was real creative. So he kind of created the Wonder Woman person and figure. And so anyway, he had that little part in his personality too. So it's very interesting. But he wrote out the DISC, and then others have come alongside him and really define and did the, he didn't come up with that test or the more extensive test. They took what he did and then they developed it. Others developed it from that. But basically there's four major, basic personality types. But when you really go in and you study it and you look at the combinations, there's at least 16, which that's where everybody kind of falls, the 16 and 4. And there's at least 16 of those types that you kind of your major makeup and who you are. Okay. Well, let's just keep going here. So just some practical reasoning that, you know, we said that just knowing your temperament and knowing other people's personality and having an understanding of that will help you with have better communication with people. It really will help you more effectively communicate. Therefore, you'll have better relationships with people, you know, within the context of your family, within the context of your work, within the context of the church, within the context of the missions committee, within the context of this mercy committee, in the context of wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you know, it really enhances how you relate to each other and how you communicate when you understand the basis of what you'll learn today and next week just about personality will really help. If you may have already done a lot of this, but it'll really help for you to have that basis. And then also, it'll help your it'll help you understand why people say and do what they say and do. And I guess, you know, a sentence that I wrote out, and I don't know if I got this from somebody, if you heard it before, that's fine, you can tell me who said it first. But, you know, not understanding other people often leads to misunderstanding. And so it's really important that you would understand others, because not understanding them, who they are, leads to misunderstandings or conflict. And so that's what I would say as far as just a good practical reason. I'm going to go through three A's, okay? And these are notes are there for you, and you can listen and you can jot anything else. But some of these I've said, so I'll go fast through them. But the first thing is being aware, and then I'm going to say accept, and I'm going to say appreciate. So these are principles about personality. We need to be aware that it's God who designed us and made us, and He made each person just the way He wanted. That's why we went through Psalm 139. It's also important to be aware that there's no best or better personality type and no worse personality type. Remember, God don't make no junk, okay, when you just go, all right, they're frustrating me, but God don't make no junk, okay? And it's just like, God is perfect, and so He made them and shaped them the way they are. Now, are they immature? They could be, you know, or could they have not, should not have said that? Yes, they could maybe not have said that. But as far as who they are, you know, God made them. And then know your temperament and your own strengths and weaknesses in order to be who God designed you to be, and to walk in step with the Holy Spirit in your life. And that's what I said earlier. I said I'd say it again. You know, if I know that my base, that I want, that I have, you know, I'll tell you, I'm a DI in my natural temperament. People wouldn't guess that. A lot of people I've asked and said, what's my temperament? And they'll be like, SC. And because of other things, and we'll talk about that next week. But with me, if I know patience isn't my number one natural thing I have. It is Belinda's. Praise Jesus. Because Belinda's an IS, both are real high, or an SI, both are real high. So she's extremely patient and caring and loving and forgiving, you know, but mine, those aren't my characteristics. So if I know that, I need to really meditate on the scriptures of the Lord and trust Him to give me patience and pray that and walk in patience. I need to count silently to 10 like my mama told me before I talk or do anything. You know, I mean, I need to manage who I am by the Spirit. I need to walk in step and let the Spirit control me and not let my flesh control me. Others have other challenges. All of us have a challenge with how we're designed. We have strengths, but we have weaknesses or areas of our flesh because we're in a fallen world and we're not there yet. We still have the old man we contend with. And our old man jumps out in our temperament, okay? In the ways you're going to be one way and I'm going to be another way. I may be say, let's go, let's take them on. And you're like, no, no, no. You know, your temperament's like, let's think through it. And let's don't hurt anybody's feelings, you know, the C and the S. And I'm like, let's just go do it. Let's make sure we take care of this, you know. We're all need the Spirit of God. But knowing our temperament really helps. Okay, understand and embrace that every temperament type is needed and important to glorify God and to further His kingdom on earth. It's so important to understand that every single personality, God made them, and their combination of who they are, and God has that person and has you and me, all of us, to accomplish His purposes and for His glory. And then we need to be aware of this, to know that the personality types of those who are closest to you, we need to know them, the personality types of those closest to us, in order to relate well to them and to have accurate expectations on them. The closer people are to us, the more expectations we tend to have on them and their relationship, our relationship with them. Knowing their personality type really helps us have the right expectations of what they will say or do or not do. And then to love them in a way that they know it. If I love you the way I like to be loved, then you may never feel it. But if I can think through that, you know, who my wife is and I love her in a way that communicates to her and who she is, then she knows it. And so we got to love people in the way that they need to receive love, or to talk to people in the way they need to talk and relate to people in the way that they relate. It helps us with a parent, siblings, spouse, that network of friends, children, you know, your coworkers, your friends, your employees, your employers. As we know our personality and temperament, I won't tell that story. All right, and then accept. We need to accept who God has designed you to be and live in light of this with faith, joy, and intentionality. Okay, so we need to accept also who God designed others and their differences and how they interpret life and respond to circumstances and communicate with you. And then we also need to accept the truth of Psalm 139:14. You remember that. You know, that's the passage where, it says, I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Does your soul know very well? Do you sing out to the Lord, I praise you, God, for I am fearfully, wonderfully made. My soul knows it very well. God wants you to. God wants you to praise Him and who He is, and know that He made you in light of who He is, and that you would say, wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. We need to proclaim that and accept that. Accept that God is the Creator. He's the perfect Creator, the perfect Creator. And live in faith in God. Live in the peace of Christ as you relate to those closest to you. So, and then you need to appreciate. This is the third and final A. Appreciate these things. Appreciate that you would understand that God in His wisdom created people differently, intentionally, for His glory. And then also embrace the fact that each person is God's work of art, whom He customly designed. And then in our appreciation is for this and in light of personality, we need to own the fact that different is not bad or wrong. It's just different. It's so important to go, different's not bad. It's just different. And we need to not always think that different people or the way that they do it is wrong, just because they think different or act different or speak different. And then encourage others to be who God designed them to be. We need to be encouraging them and appreciate the difference. And then living with others with understanding. To live with others, you know, with peace. Live with others with joy and patience and love. Final thoughts. We do not act the same as we did. You may go, hey, I don't act the same. Like you said, it's from birth and it stays with me. I don't act the same way as I did growing up. I don't act the same way as I did in high school. I'm like, with you, do we say, praise the Lord, we're not acting like we did in high school, right? Praise Jesus. No, what I'm saying is we have that basic bent, that basic personality. When Jesus comes in, He changes us, but we still are who we are. And then as we grow spiritually, yes, He's conforming us into the image of Christ, but we're still basically sort through life in our same temperament or our way. That's why when I asked you to take the test, to think of how you were when you were a child or in your most comfortable settings. Don't think of you at work or in a very difficult setting or over here. You know, think of you in your basic makeup so you would get to the temperament, your personality as what I'm trying to, not how you operate, how you are personally at work or in life. And then we must apply the shape filter. We'll talk more about that next week. And then we must remember that the Holy Spirit in us is perfecting us into the image of Christ. And then as God shapes you, remember you will always have the base personality and temperament. And do not try to change your personality or change someone else's personality to be who you want them to be. That doesn't mean that we won't pray scripture for our children or for our friends or for our family members or for, you know, yes, we want to pray that everybody grows in Christ. But I don't want Belinda to be a D or to be dominant or a doer. I don't want to just go, come on, get with it. You know, let's, can't you just get after it? Come on, you know, and get mad at her. No, I can't do that. And she can't with me go, can't you just calm down a little bit? You know, can't we just sit back and not make people mad or, you know. Now, she does give me godly wisdom. Hey, let's pray through that and think about it before we go talk to our child about that. You know, that's a good, you know. I've learned a lot to listen to her in 36 years. And she's learned to listen to me. We operate together. We're totally opposite in our temperament. So don't try. We don't need to change each other and their basic temperaments, and we also don't need to go, golly, I wish I was like him or her. And no, we need to make sure that we're praising God and thanking God for who we are and grow, but for who we are. And do remember that opposites do attract to each other, but opposites also attack. You know, that's a very, you know, true statement. First person I think was Gary Smalley. I heard say that maybe, but opposites attract, opposites also attack. So just, you know, you may have this great friends and then sometimes y'all just have fallen outs, you know, it just happens. But anyway, so there's some information. So now you have, we're just going to go ahead and go to our small groups. That's all my information. There's a lot, but that's a good basis on if I'm doing this in 2 weeks. In the back, you just have three questions, and the first two you could actually put together if you'd like to. It's just like, what is, you know, what's your, you share what your primary and secondary are on your DIFF survey. If you hadn't done it, just look at the, you know, some of the answers of what's at the back, and you can go, yeah, I'm more of this, I think, and just share that with one another. So you can put question one and two together, and then question three. So we'll give some time for small groups. Well, guys, I'll go ahead and call us together. I'll try to give a little more time next week for the group time. Let me ask y'all some questions. All right. So, how many of you, when y'all had your discussion, or just what do you think right now? How many of you say you have a now only your predominant, not your secondary? How many of y'all would be a D? All right. How many of you would be an I? Okay. How many of you would be an S? How many of you be a C? See, it's already a blend in here. That's cool. All right. Great. Well, we'll talk more about that next week. Now, what are some of the principles that your group shared that you would like to apply to your life or that you want to share tonight? You don't have to share all of them or anything, but did something jump out that you'd say, hey, here's one of the ones we shared, one of these principles, if you got there. I tell Belinda that when, like, I'm under stress, I become more like I am, which isn't always very good, instead of more like Jesus, you know? And so, yes, when I'm walking in the Spirit, but, and, you know, people under stress, you tend to fall into your natural temperament. But anyway, but yes, maturity helps you. All right, somebody else? Another comment? All right, well, next week we're going to go through and if you hadn't done the DISC or you hadn't really had time yet, I'd encourage you to just do it. It won't take long. Most people, if you're, you know, your personality is a little bit different, it may take you a little longer. But don't get hung up on which one is perfectly you. Just pick the best first one. Now, Greg asked who wrote this. I put this together from a lot of information. I'm sure there's not many original thoughts in here, but I did gather it and put it all together from a lot of different times that I've gone to seminars and things with this. But that little first, these little bullets are really important to help. But then what I'd encourage you to do for next week is to read over starting with just this one little page here, 4, 5, and 6. If you have a minute, now next week we're going to talk through all this and we're going to talk about how that relates to us. So if you want to just wait till then, that's fine. But you could, it would help if you want to go ahead and just read through some of this. And that's, there's some interpretive thoughts and then kind of like an overview of each temperament. And then that's really the growth work. If you want to go deeper, I just put some more, homework. Yes, Greg. Growth work. You know, here, if you wanted us to go, okay, I want to do something a little deeper to go deeper in this subject, I want to make sure that you had some more things, and that's why there's 6 more things there if you want to go a little deeper between now and next week or the week after that. All right, well, let me...